This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, Limits. We have college football on the horizon. Actually, it already started. If you watched that, Iowa State, Kansas State the other day, and then in a mud bowl, sliding away, the whole thing. It was awful.
Yeah, that was a very interesting game. I also found somebody posted a picture of the stadium and how close like actual houses are to the stadium. They're basically 10 feet away. It's like a whole basketball hoop away from the stadium. Pretty interesting.
We have a lot going on here, including Pitt Duquesne to open the season. Who would have ever thought that? Bill Belichick in the ACC, and do or die for James Franklin. He seems to have the coaching staff in place. You know, he's complained before about, you know, how much help his program is getting from its own university in the form of facilities. And I would imagine in the past he's been talking about monies for assisting coaches. It's been kind of nebulous, but he's made that claim before, is we have to make the total commitment. I don't think anybody can say that Penn State hasn't made the total commitment by now.
Not at all.
They've made it. They may have the highest paid assistant coach in history here as their defensive coordinator. And it's time. It would appear that if you can't win with this group, you seem to have the quarterback in place. You have tons of talent everywhere on the field. Every single person I've seen picking college football has picked them to not only make the playoff, but just about everybody says in the top four in the playoff, it's time for James Franklin. Does that mean that if he doesn't at least get to the championship game, he's fired? Do you think?
I think that's what some fans will want. That's not ultimately what Penn State will do, no.
How do you know?
James Franklin is untouchable unless this thing completely, unless they don't make the playoffs. And then I think that it can be a realistic
conversation. So he gets there and wins one home game against SMU again and then gets blown out. He's safe?
I think so, yeah.
What?
There is...
No, that's wrong. I completely disagree.
I agree on the fact that it shouldn't be the case, but they are very confident in James Franklin. Should they be? I don't think so. But internally, there's a lot of Franklin.
How do you know they're that? How do you know that?
I cover Penn State stuff. I'm up there a lot.
Okay. So they go to the playoff, and you're saying the only way he gets fired is if they miss the playoff?
I'm not reporting anything, but I think that would probably be the most likely thing, yeah.
So they go to the playoff. Let's say they get a home game early, and they're a 13-point favorite, and they get blown out at home. He's safe?
You're saying if they go to the playoffs and they win absolutely no games?
Yeah, get blown out at home as a heavy favorite.
I still don't think he's going anywhere. I don't.
I disagree heavily with that. And I think from the fan base anyway, the sentiment will be, even if he gets as far as he did last year and loses a good game again, he may be gone. And I'm not so sure I would disagree with that. How far do you think they get?
To the national championship.
Against?
I'm not willing to say that they're going to win it right now, but I do think that they're going to get to the national championship, and your friend Limits will have very few dollars left in his pocket traveling around to watch all the games.
How many games will they have to win it all?
They would need four. Well, I mean, it depends on if they have a first-round bye
right.
or not.
They might need to win five.
Last year, it needed to be four. They won the SMU game. A lot. They beat Boise. They lost to Notre Dame, and then they would have gone to the national championship.
Yeah, so four maximum, I guess, right?
Yeah, three with a bye.
Yeah, I think if he doesn't get it done this year, you really have to ask at Penn State, then when is it going to happen? I mean, it's one thing if you get to the championship and you lose a great game, you know, because you're obviously playing a great team. It's Penn State, Penn State, Ohio State, or Penn State, Alabama.
Yeah, Georgia, Clemson.
Clemson. Clemson, and they lose, you know, 30-28. That's a great year, right? Maybe even getting back to where they got last year in the semis would be considered a pretty darn good year. Except they shouldn't have lost to Notre Dame because they were the better team. So I guess it depends on how it plays out. But Limits, anything short of that, I think they're going to move on. And one guy that people are talking about, and I can't remember the author of this story, but I just saw the story today, is Joe Brady, offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. And he's someone who's going to be in high demand, 35 years old. And Penn State may look at him as someone who can finish the job up there. He was a grad assistant, I believe, under Franklin way back in 15-16 and has become a pretty hot commodity. If they flame out early in the playoff, like the hard part to determine would be if they advance and win a couple games again and are competitive in the semis and lose, then I think it'll be questionable. If they flame out in game one or get blown out of a playoff game early, I think James Franklin is done. I'm shocked to hear that you don't agree.
Then they should move on. I would move on if it was me making the decision. I just don't think that they will. And Joe, from like a Penn State fan perspective,
yeah,
it's national championship or bust for everyone. If you go to the game and you don't win it, it is a failed season.
Well, that's ignorant.
It's not.
You don't think it's ignorant?
Not at all.
No, if they get to the national championship game and play Clemson into overtime and lose, it's a failed season?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Because everybody that you return, expectations is the number two seed. This is basically being hyped up there as the year. And if not now, there's a good chance it's not going to happen for a long time.
Well, I think if not now is getting to the championship game, is being one of the final two and being competitive there. I mean, that would be a hell of a thing to get there and lose, like I said, in overtime to Clemson or Georgia or something and have people, they would want him fired then?
I don't think they'd want him fired.
Well, if it's a failed season, why wouldn't they?
It would still be a failed year because the ultimate goal is to win a national championship.
Sure.
And this year, based on talent, expectations, coaching staff, and opportunity, there's been no better blueprint than right now.
Yeah,
going back to
that.
Like 94, 97.
I agree. Yeah, it's a wildly talented team. And a lot of it is going to depend on Drew Aller's progress. And he made the play that lost them the game last year, late in the game. Did you agree with Franklin trying to be aggressive and go for the winning score on that possession?
I did. Because, you know, their running game.
Notre Dame had three timeouts left, did they not?
They did. Penn State also had timeouts in their back pocket as well. If you have one big play on that first possession, they had. So this is how it started off. Singleton had a 12-yard run. And I think that's what really set the tone for that drive, where it's, okay, you're backed up on your own end, but you already got a first down. You were able to advance 12 yards. If Aller can make a big play to Warren over the middle of the field, do it. If not, throw it out of bounds. Let's play for overtime. So I was okay being aggressive at that standpoint to try to get a field goal. Ryan Barker can make a 50-yarder. I was fine with it. Ultimately, the result was just horrendous.
So I agree with Wes Durham we had on from ACC Network, and I think most people do, that there's tons of teams that could win it this year. Tons of them. I mentioned earlier Ohio State is going to be really good again. Really good. They might have the best defense. They might have the best receiving core. They probably have the best player in all of college football. They have a great coach who I think the criticism of him has just been insane when you look at Ryan Day's all-time record, including at home, where he's 28-1, and he's got Texas and Penn State coming to Columbus. They're going to be in the playoff. Now, they have a new quarterback. I get it. They lost Jim Knowles, their defensive coordinator, too, and they lost him to Penn State. Penn State made a big outlay there in terms of what they're paying him. But it's not like they settled for, you know, a total unknown or some scrub with their new defensive coordinator. You can laugh at Matt Patricia from his Lions tenure as a head coach. You can also laugh at the pencil in the ear or above the ear. Imagine if he had a pencil in his ear during games limits.
Look a little strange.
But he's a hell of a defensive coordinator, and I found it really interesting that Ryan Day explored the question that I would be asking if I was interviewing Matt Patricia, and that is, how much did he really have to do with those three Super Bowl-winning defenses where he was the coordinator, and how much of it was Belichick? And Ryan Day, who's a very sharp guy and a very good coach, came to the conclusion that Patricia had a lot of free reign with that defense. That was his defense in a lot of ways. At least that's what he determined. So I don't know that you're settling, you know, when you bring in a three-time Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator who's still fairly young as your new guy. And I don't know that you're settling. You know, you never will in a place like Ohio State with a five-star quarterback like Julian Sain. I'm just saying limits.
I will not go.
I still think Ohio State's going to be pretty damn good. You disagree?
Yeah, I do not. No, they're going to make the playoff. I will be very, very fascinated to see how the game against Texas goes, though, to set the tone.
Me too.
Because, you know, Will Howard started off really slow for them.
That's quite a place for little Arch Manning to start. I'll say that.
Yeah.
And if he comes out and he shreds them and has a great game, wow.
Then it'll be, wow. Oh, boy. The Cleveland Browns will look at that and say, we are tanking, everyone. We're getting that guy.
I don't think they can help but to tank, right? Even if they don't want to tank, they're going to wind up tanking.
They might publicly say we're tanking for that guy.
Ryan Day, 28-1 at home. And then you have Oregon, who, yeah, they lost their quarterback. They lost some other good players. They went wild in the transfer portal. I think they're said to have, you know, the best transfer class of all. And they're going to be good limits. You don't think so?
I do think so. Because they dumped that Phil Knight Nike money into Oregon every single year. And they got a really good program. I'm fascinated. That's the whiteout this year.
Yeah.
I'm very fascinated to see how Oregon looks, because last year, number one team in the country, in great offense. That's where Derek Harmon came from, too. They'll be good again. Top 10 team all year.
I can't wait to watch that. And then we have, you know, bigger national storylines that, like this one. How much each position costs on the field. Have you ever seen this list, Limits?
No.
This was put out by ESPN. And while they don't have exact figures like we do in the NFL, they interviewed college GMs. And yes, there is such a thing all over the place now. We know that. Agents and the like, coaches, things like that, to try to get a handle on what these people are making. I'm going to let you guess at each position. How much does the average quarterback, maybe a little better than average, but how much do quarterbacks, decent ones, generally make these days in college?
I'm going to say about around $1.5 million.
I was going to say wrong, but you're exactly right. Oh, limitless
wonder. $1.5 million.
About $1 million to $2 million, it says. The best ones make $3 million. Now, some of them, like Arch Manning, it says, and Florida's DJ Lagway, earn so much for major brand deals that, as it says here, they don't have to dip into their school's revenue share or collective funds as much, right?
Right.
That can go other places. But as an SEC GM tells ESPN, the great ones are making $3 million.
That's what Aller's making this year. On3 reported that last week.
Man, he better be worth that.
Uh-huh. Got to take that step up.
You might get me to change my mind on Penn State as win the national championship or bust when you have a $3 million quarterback. He better be worth that.
Then the offensive coordinator was going to take the West Virginia job, but ultimately decided to stay as well. Like, they have all the pieces this year.
How much does a good running back cost limits? Wrong.
Probably around $500,000.
Oh, my God. Did you read this?
I'm not kidding.
Yes, you did. You have it up in front of you.
I do not. You can come in here and look.
Between $300,000 and $700,000, which is $500,000 on the
I'm
dot.
Getting in the middle. I'm not getting like the ranges, I guess.
No, you are. It costs, on average, about $500,000. The one agent tells ESPN anything below $750,000 for a starting running back at a serious program would be disrespectful. How about that? How much does an average or a good wide receiver make? Limits.
I'm going to say in between $500,000 to a million.
Why don't you just say $1 to $10 million limits? I mean, give me a better figure than that.
Since I said $500,000, I'm going to say $750,000.
Very good. Again, between $400,000 and $800,000. Ohio State's Jeremiah Smith is a generational talent who's worth more than $1 million.
No, he's got to be getting two. He's got to be getting two at least.
So, a Big Ten staffer tells ESPN that starting wideouts who aren't number one receivers should be in the $250,000 to $400,000 range. Can you imagine as a number two receiver? Like, wait, what? Look up Google minimum salary in the NFL, if you would. So a number two receiver, a good one in college, can make upwards of $400,000? That's unbelievable to me, and that's also how much a good tight end makes. Tight end, not a hugely paid number, but they can go for as high as $800,000 for the very best, but it's more or less between $200,000 and $400,000. What do you got there?
Minimum salary in the NFL is $840,000 for players with 0 to 2 years of service.
Wow. So a college running back could certainly, and a college wide receiver could make as much as the NFL minimum. How about a good offensive tackle limits? Wrong.
Maybe $100,000.
$100,000. You were right on the money until this. The guy protecting your quarterback's blind side?
Well, we're not specifying left or right tackle, right?
Either one. What if you have a left-handed quarterback?
Then I would imagine that specific tackle is going to make more money.
How much? Wrong.
All right, maybe $200,000.
No.
Am I way underestimating this?
Yeah, $500,000 to a million.
Wow.
Yeah. Agents say recruiting battles for quality offensive tackles easily get up to $800,000 and can go all the way to $1.2 million.
This has gotten out of hand. I mean, I'm happy for the players.
Why
but
do you care, though? That's my question.
I don't.
Do you care when people say it's out of hand? Like I said earlier, and I'm sure a lot of people agree with you. I might even agree with you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
But who cares? coaching salaries have gone up like 340% in college football.
I think the thing for people...
So why do we care that they're finally getting paid and that they're getting paid exorbitant sums of money? If anything, it might be good for the game for people who love college football. And by the way, one reason people are picking Penn State a lot this year is because some of their players stuck around. Now, they may have been low-round picks, some of them, but still... I would imagine they wouldn't have stuck around if they couldn't make $400,000, right?
I think the thing that's tough for people is it went from the players are getting paid no money in quotes, who knows what was going on behind the scenes, to now these big sums of $3 million. Or Bo Prabula got $1.5 million, Penn State's backup, to go to Missouri.
Yeah.
And now he's not even like the starter. Both quarterbacks are going to play for Missouri in their first game.
But again, this is just my personal opinion, and I think it'll be borne out in the TV ratings for Texas-Ohio State and the Monday night game with TCU against Belichick and LSU. I don't care. I really don't. Players deserved to be paid all along, and now they're making tons of money. There's obviously tons of money to pay them, or they wouldn't be getting paid. That's how markets work. So this guy, Chris Branch, and I love his stuff, actually. I get this every morning in my email, writes The Pulse for The Athletic. You know, what's happening on this day in sports? And he talks about, as we head into officially week one of the college football season, the strange reality of college football in 2025. And he says, I'm not trying to say the sport is ruined, but the pace at which it has changed, and more importantly, how the money has exploded, is jarring. According to our in-depth reporting, he says, athletic department revenues grew 212% from 05 to 23. Expenses grew 210%. Coaching salaries rose 370%. So it seems to me there's enough money to pay these people. Why not the players? And again, I don't give a crap. I'm going to be tuning in to Texas-Ohio State, and I don't care how much money Ohio State's receivers make. I'm tuning in to watch the game. I don't care how much the coaches make. I don't care about any of that. But again, maybe that's just me. Maybe people are very concerned and they think, like this guy says, I'm not going to say the sport is ruined. Ruined? It's flourishing, college football.
I agree. Like, I'll spin this way. The only way that I would care if I was a fan is, hey, can Pitt be able to spend that type of money and have that type of money to compete with the Clemsons and the Miamis of the world?
Let me ask you a question. Was Pitt competing with the Clemsons and Miamis of the world anyway for the last 40 years?
No, but I feel like the gap can become much larger.
How much larger? Pitt's never going to be in a playoff, and those teams always are.
You don't think that Pitt can make the 12-team playoff?
I mean, maybe they could once. How many times would they have made it in the last 40 years? Once, right? With Kenny Pickett?
They would have made it in that Kenny Pickett year and... That might be it.
So how much wider can the gap possibly be? Plus, schools were already paying people under the table anyway.
So you don't think that the NIL, unless there's more regulations put on it, and maybe there is regulations put on it with this $20 million
maybe,
revenue sharing?
And I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind if there was a salary cap type of thing. It's not foremost on my list of concerns, but I wouldn't mind if there was.
No, I'm fine with the players getting paid for this. Like, especially because college football is becoming more and more like the NFL, they're entitled to the compensation.
But to me, the fact of the matter is, it was already the haves and have-nots in college football. You can predict, like the digits on this clock above me, who was going to be in the playoff every year. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and today.
I heard Colin Cowherd make a really good analogy to this. It's like being invited to a party. Like, now Boise State gets in.
Yeah.
Now, like, Indiana gets into the party. They feel like they're a part of the party. But the popular people and the rich folks, like the Ohio States and the Texases of the world, they're the ones that are still running the event.
Yeah, and they would have been anyway. And I would even argue that some people, if they have the benefit of really a few really rich people, some of the have-nots can sneak back in here. I'll give you an example.
SMU. Was that your example?
Yes, it was.
Yep.
So, hey, man, that's kind of the American way. pay up. Now, should there be some guardrails? Yeah, maybe, and I'm sure there will be at some point. But in the meantime, it's the wild, wild west, and the result is the same as it was before it was the wild, wild west, and that is the same schools are there at the end. So I don't see a big difference. And again, it'll be the last thing on my mind as I'm watching Arch Manning in Columbus against Ohio State and Matt Patricia's defense with the pencil in his ear. I'm going to be fascinated. It's going to be great theater, and I don't give a crap what Arch Manning or anybody on Ohio State's making. I really, truly don't. I'm going to enjoy the game and many others. How do you think Belichick fares this season, Limits?
I think they'll probably be around a 7-8 win team.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to win that Clemson game. They're going to have a surprise.
Oh, my God, no.
No. They're going to have
a surprising loss. Can you imagine if he does? I want him to develop rivalries with people like Dabo. It's really unfortunate that North Carolina isn't playing Pitt. Am I right about that this year, or are they?
No, they're not.
So, you know, Narduzzi would have piped up and said something.
Oh, yeah.
And it would have been glorious, maybe about the Patriots cheating, and we would have had a nice little rivalry brewing there. I think that might be the biggest story in college football. I mean, every time I see a photo of the guy, I'm like, are you kidding me? Bill Belichick coaches North Carolina? Limits, 5 years ago, maybe, was he in a Super Bowl? 5 years ago?
Yeah.
6 years ago, he was in a Super Bowl, and he's arguably, and maybe not even arguably, the greatest coach in NFL history. And he's still very capable of coaching in the NFL, but nobody wants him anymore because of how much power it's perceived that he wants once he takes over an NFL program. So he's going to be coaching against TCU. Do you think Jamie Dixon travels out to that game? Do you think he calls a timeout with one of the TCU players running for a touchdown?
Wouldn't you like to see Jamie just up in the booth, chopping it up with other boosters and alumni from Carolina? Him and Michael Jordan are hanging out in the suite watching the game.
I would love to see Jamie there. I'd love to see him on their sidelines and then jumping onto the field to enact different defensive plays as the TCU players are on defense. It would be tremendous.
Now, what do you think it will end up being the bigger story, the height of their powers? And I think I know which one you're going to pick, but I wonder by how much. Last year with Deion, Colorado, and Shedeur Sanders and the circus around that, or Belichick and the circus at North Carolina?
Well, It would be hard to top the circus around Deion from last year. But if Jordan, what's her last name?
Jordan Hudson.
If she gets majorly involved here, and they seem to have wanted to phase her out a little bit, although that documentary's still coming, I think, that's going to be a mess.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.